So I'll go back to verse number 44 and begin reading the translations. So yesterday, the verse was about Srila Haridas Thakur and his chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So this is a continuation of that same theme. There was no end to the transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur. Here I mention but a fraction of his qualities. He was so exalted that Advaita Goswami was performing the Shraddha ceremony of his father, and he offered him the first plate. Text 45. The waves of his good qualities were like those of Prahlad Maharaj. He did not even slightly raise an eyebrow when persecuted by the Mohammedan ruler. Text 46. After the passing away of Srila Haridas Thakur, the Lord himself took his body on his lap and he danced with it in great ecstasy. Text 47. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur vividly describes the pastimes of Srila Haridas Thakur in his book, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Whatever has remained undescribed, I shall try to explain later in this book. Today's verse. One sub-branch of Haridas Thakur consisted of the residents of Kulinagram. The most important among them was Sachiraj Khan, or Sachiraj Vasu, who was a recipient of all the mercy of Haridas Thakur. Purport. Sachiraj Khan was the son of Gunaraj Khan and the father of Ramananda Vasu. Haridas Thakur lived for some time during the Chaturmasya period in the village named Kulinagram, when he chanted the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and distributed his mercy to the descendants of the Vasu family. Sachiraj Khan was allotted the service of supplying silk ropes for the Jagannath Deity during the Rath Yatra festival. The answers to his inquiries from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the duties of householder devotees are vividly described in the Madhya Lila, chapter 15 and 16. So here's a nice reference. Questions about how to practice household life was given, these answers were given in a discussion with Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sachiraj Khan, and it's chapters 15 and 16 of Madhya Lila, so if you need that reference. The village of Kulinagram is situated 2 miles from the railway station known as Jagrama on the New Cord line from Nohara to Burdan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very highly praised the people of Kulinagram, and he stated that even a dog of Kulinagram was very dear to him. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sunyavari Pastyatyare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we're hearing more about Srila Haridas Thakur and also his relationship with Sachiraj Khan. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati takes issue with people who make the statement that Haridas Thakur was born in a Brahmin family. He was not actually born in a Muslim family. Because in the research for the evidence for his actual appearance in this world is very obscure. And therefore it's not exactly definite. But it is confirmed by all the acharyas that he actually did take birth in a Muslim family due to the limited researches which was allowed in that area. So why do they say that? Because they want to really minimize the glory of Lord Chaitanya. or actually try to make Haridas Thakur look a little different. So because being, according to, you know, Vedic culture, to be born in that particular family is considered a lower birth. And therefore, how could such a personality be so glorious in the practice of devotional service that he's honored as the Namacharya, or that person who can teach the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? So Bhaktisiddhanta very strongly in some of his writings speaks about this and says that actually they're simply trying to minimize Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because Lord Chaitanya's mercy can never be fully understood. And we see that, how the Jagais and the Mudais, without going into that particular pastime which many of you have heard so many times, we understand how glorious Lord Chaitanya's mercy is and how he can uplift even the most fallen. And in reference to that pastime of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda together, combined, showing mercy to Jagai and Madai, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati again says something very illuminating. And what is that illumination? Is that these pastimes, or this particular pastime, is not simply a story in the Shastras. He rejects that. And he also said it's not simply a historical account. It's the feature of Lord Chaitanya's mercy that's going on today. That's how he concludes it. That the Jagais and Manais are still getting the mercy and becoming great devotees, or becoming fixed in Krishna consciousness. This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And therefore, when we hear about Srila Haridas Thakur, it's not so surprising, even though he was apparently born in a very obscure birth, how he became the acharya of the holy name, not only one who practices the process perfectly, but also can teach the process perfectly. He teaches it by his example and by his preaching. We have the story. Of course, there are many pastimes of Srila Haridas Thakur, but one that really illustrates the glory of Srila Haridas Thakur is how, when he was living in a cave near the banks of the Ganga, near the place in Shantipur, he would sit and chant his prescribed rounds, 300 names of God every day, without fail. One night, on a full moon night, when the night was very, what we say, what's the word, romantic, to use a kind of a word maybe everyone can understand. The mood was like that. Sometimes when the full moon's out, you know, it has that mood. Maya Devi herself, the personification of the external energy of the Lord, who is beauty personified, appeared to him in his cave. And she demonstrated, as it's described in that particular pastimes, the most voluptuous, alluring types of postures just to attract his mind. Now here's Maya Devi. It wasn't an individual jiva from this material world who happened to have good qualities. It was Maya Devi herself. She carries the personification of all attractive features of the material energy with her. And her beauty is excelled. Even Lord Shiva glorifies his wife in that way. It says that the postures and the gestures she was exhibiting to Srila Haridas Thakur would bewilder the mind, even the greatest philosophers. That's how the statement's made. But Srila Haridas Thakur went out chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And he didn't make any effort to change the situation. He just stayed absorbed in chanting his holy name. After some time, Maya Devi actually said, before she spoke, she actually realized that this saint is an extraordinary saint. He has no attraction, and he's completely absorbed in Krishna's holy name. And therefore, she offered her obeisances. Maya Devi offers her obeisances to Srila Haridas Thakur. Everybody in this world is offering their obeisances to Mayadevi and saying, Mayadevi, Haribo, what can you give me? I know you have so many things to give. Yeah, so. But she offered her obeisances in full, humble prostration and then glorified Srila Haridas. And then she ended the glorification by saying, please give me initiation. I had been initiated previously by my husband in the Ram mantra. Now give me initiation in Krishna's mantra, like that. And Haridas Thakur, so Haridas Thakur, one of his disciples is Mayadevi herself. Who is Mayadevi? This is explained nicely in Shastra. The internal energy personified is Purnamasi, and she makes all the arrangements in the spiritual world for Krishna's pastimes to be carried on in such an exciting way. No one can see her. She's behind the scenes making everything happen for Krishna and the gopis and the cowherd boys to enjoy loving pastimes in various ways. That same Yoga Maya, Purnamasi, when her energy comes to the material world, it transforms into another personality, which is an expansion of herself known as Mayadevi. Or we, as Prabhupada said, Durga Devi, in this material world. And what is her feature? She simply attracts the conditioned souls for material benedictions. And then ultimately, they lose everything at the time of death. So she's not a good, you know, supplier. Whatever she gives, she takes back after some time. So this is the type of personality that became the disciple of Srila Haridas Thakur. Who can understand the glories of such an exalted personality? And his qualities are unlimited. When he was criticized in the assembly of the two brothers, Jagadish and Govardhan Manjumdara, who were the father and uncle of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, they were rich. They were employed by the government. They were tax collectors. It said that the wealth that they have was like billionaires today. If we would accumulate, account their wealth, they would be like billionaires. And they all held an assembly, which they invited Haridas Thakur to be the guest of honor. But there were many other persons there, and some of them were their employees. And one employee was Gopal Chakravarti. Now, Gopal Chakravarti had all good material qualities. He was learned. He was very handsome. He also was wealthy. And he was a little proud of his things. It's just the way the material world is. The more you have, the more pride you have. It's just the way it is. And people think that these things will give them the happiness. But ultimately, they turn into something different. We understand that. So, when Haridas Thakur started to glorify the qualities and the benefits of chanting the holy names of the Lord, he summed up his glorification that saying, liberation is like an insignificant feature of chanting of the holy names of the Lord. It is insignificant. Liberation automatically is a byproduct when we glorify the holy names of the Lord. Now, Gopal Chakravarti, he immediately became insulted. His intelligence was insulted. He was thinking, what is this? It takes so much tapasya, study of the Vedas, and various types of chanting of mantras, and detaching oneself from all activities in the material world, simply to get into the process which liberation offers, what to speak about getting liberation itself. And he's saying, you are so audacious that you're actually saying the chanting of the holy names of the Lord makes liberation insignificant. And then he started to criticize Srila Haridas Thakur and said that actually, if What you're saying is not true. I therefore curse you that your nose will fall off. What did Haridas Thakur do? He said, if it's not, what I'm saying is not true, I will cut off my own nose. He didn't retaliate. And then he started to explain from Shastra how the holy name is simply, liberation is simply a byproduct of the holy name. Mukti and bhukti simply follow the devotee who engages fully in chanting of the holy names of the Lord. They're maidservants. Bilva Mangalore Thakur says, mukti and bhukti stand at my door knocking, asking, can I come in? Bhukti is material benefits and mukti is liberation. They're insignificant compared to the chanting of the holy, the glories of chanting of the holy names. Kali Kale, Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar, Nama Hoiti, Haya Sarva, Jagat Nishtara. Hariyar Nama, Hariyar Nama, Hariyar Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti, Gatir Anyata. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe this verse? Or it's just a nice rhyme, right? Because it's got a lot of anupras in it, you know, literary embellishments. Like Anasteva, 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 Hadir, you know, it's... Do we actually believe it? That the holy name is everything and there's no other process? Think about it. Because it's a real understanding, because when you have that, when you develop the faith in chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and you chant with that faith, and Krishna bestows upon you his mercy in so many ways. Because the holy name of the Lord cannot be compared to anything in this world, or anything even in the spiritual world, except Krishna himself. And then even Krishna bows down to his own holy name. Krishna knows how glorious his holy name is. One day he's sitting with Srimati Radharani, and he has the great fortune to paint on her feet the red lac that the ladies put on the feet. What is it called? Alta. So Krishna's really happy. He's like in bliss. He finally got that. Radharani is allowing him to do this. So he's like, right, he's painting it. And then he's thinking, I'll be done. But I want to stay at her lotus feet. So I'm going to write my name on her feet. So he decides on the balls of her feet, he writes his name Krishna, because he thinks, my name and me are the same. So let me put my name on her feet. That way I'll always be at her lotus feet. This is what Krishna thinks about Radharani. He always wants to be there, because he knows there's no one who has greater love for him than Radharani. No one can even challenge her love. Even the combination of all the loving associates together cannot equal Radharani's love for Krishna. And so he writes it. And then what happens is Radharani's assistant, Rati Manjari, who is an incarnate, who is actually Raghunath Das Goswami, he's there in his transcendental form as Rati Manjari, the assistant of Srimati Radharani. And Radharani, when she sees that Krishna puts his name on her feet, she pulls her feet back fast, but then she hits the arm of Rati Manjari, and Rati Manjari gets Krishna's name on her arm, and she thinks, ha, my day is so successful. Now I can carry Krishna's name everywhere I go. So these are the wonderful pastimes, and Krishna knows the quality and power of his holy name. But there's a special feature of the holy name that Krishna doesn't even carry with him. And what is that? Is that if somehow or other we commit some offenses to Krishna, you can't go to Krishna and say, please forgive me. You can do that, and you should do that, but you have to chant his name really to get his forgiveness. Because he makes the name the Adarya manifestation of himself. As Krishna is Madhurya, he's also Adarya. In Vrindavan, there is both Madhurya and Adarya. But in Vrindavan, Madhurya is sweet and Adarya is less. Is more and Adarya is less. But in Navadvip Dham, it's the opposite. There's more mercy than sweetness. But also their sweetness is in both places. And there's mercy in both places. But in Kali Yuga, we really need mercy. Because without mercy, we can't do anything. Really, it's the whole process is mercy. Begging for the mercy, crying for the mercy. And how do you do that? By taking shelter of Krishna's name and association and serving Vaishnavas. So when Gopal Chakravarti Thakur made that statement to Srila Haridas Thakur, the assembly of Vaishnavas, especially the two brothers, Govardhan and Jagadish, they became outraged. What is this? We have invited this great saint and he's being insulted by one of our employees. They immediately said, Gopal Chakravarti, you are fired. They were angry. And Haridas and the whole assembly became insulted about what happened to Haridas. Because Haridas was like, he didn't even defend himself. He simply defended the quality of the holy name. That was his only defense, not himself. He even said, I'll cut off my nose if what I say is not correct. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. And they fired him, and then he left the assembly. And guess what? 3 days later, his nose fell off. He got leprosy. So because he offended a great saint. And when Srila Haridas Thakur found out that that happened, you know how he felt? He felt really unhappy. He felt extremely unhappy. Because of me, this person had to suffer. He didn't think, oh, well, he got what he deserved. You know, he criticized me. You know, I'm a great saint. He didn't think like that. He was thinking, oh, he felt so unhappy that this person had to suffer because... And that's the quality that is required to chant the holy names of the Lord. Trinadapi sunichena tayor iva sahishnuna amaninam amanadena kirtaniya sadarehi. This last line illustrates what is our goal in Krishna consciousness. What is our goal in Krishna? It's to always stay connected with Krishna through his holy name. Somehow or other, make the holy name one's life and soul. And therefore, what is the qualities are mentioned by Mahaprabhu? That one should see themselves as insignificant. It's not a matter of seeing yourself insignificant. We are insignificant. Why? Because we are titled like that. We are jiva. Jiva means tiny. Jiva means insignificant. Jiva means, although we are of the spiritual nature, we are of the same quality as Krishna. Right? We are part and parcel of Krishna. What is that verse? Kali Kale Namarup? No, that's not the one, is it? No. What is that verse? Asabrit? No, not that one. The one that describes us as being the eternal servant of Krishna. Thank you. Jivar Sparupai Krishnera Nityadas. Yeah. Yeah, we're eternally servant of Krishna. We're part of Krishna. We are a fragment of that, his existence. We are a personality in ourself, but we are fragmental. Prabhupada says, like sparks in the fire. When the sparks stay close to the fire, the sparks are as brilliant as the fire. As soon as the sparks go away from the fire, they fall down and they go out. They become carbon particles, no longer brilliant. But Prabhupada said, if you take that carbon particle and put it back into the fire, it again takes on its fiery, beautiful qualities. So that's the process of bhakti. It brings us back to our natural position. But because we have that tendency to go away from the fire, that is called attraction to material life, We are tiny. We are so small. Therefore, without the mercy of the holy name coming from the great souls. I was just listening last night to one bhajan by Badahari Prabhu. And in, before he sang the bhajan, he started to glorify Srila Prabhupada in his giving us the chanting of the holy name. And he began by saying, there are so many people who are actually chanting the holy names of the Lord, and we're seeing many persons outside of our movement are actually taking it up in different ways. But Srila Prabhupada has given us the process by chanting the holy names of the Lord. We're entering into the spiritual realm by his mercy. He's introducing us to the spiritual realm by giving up, by authorizing the process of the holy name. The process of the holy name also includes service to the Lord and to the Vaishnavas, which makes the process of chanting the holy name perfect and complete and successful. So that is Srila Prabhupada. He's giving us that mercy. He's bringing it from Goloka. Goloka Premadana Hari Nam Sankirtan. It's mentioned here. It's coming from the spiritual world. Into the hearts of the pure devotees. The pure devotees, by their mercy and kindness and compassion, distribute that mercy to the fallen conditioned souls. And the fallen conditioned souls, somehow or other, if they are fortunate, what is that fortunate? To be able to recognize something valuable. And when we recognize, even if we don't recognize it, if we take it up, that makes us fortunate. That makes us fortunate. But to recognize it is the complete understanding of our good fortune. When we actually recognize the glories of Krishna's holy name. There's no other process. So Srila Haridas Thakur, it's described here that although he was vilified, criticized, why does Krishna put his great devotees into such, what we say, apparent suffering conditions? Here's a person who was sinless his whole life. His whole life he was sinless. But yet he went against the social trend. Born in a Muslim family, known by other Muslims as a Muslim, and therefore he was persecuted for practicing the religion of the Hindus, as it's described. But in his persecution, or in his, you know, being criticized, he never gave up the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. When he was captured by the magistrate, the Qazi, and the Muslim leader at that time, they threatened him in so many ways. Give up this chanting and we'll let you go. You can live your life nicely, happily. Why are you taking up the religion of those who are, you know, of low birth? They were saying like that. And Haridas Thakur was simply said that I will never give up the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. This is my life and soul. And they said, if you don't, we're going to kill you. Haribo. They just put it right on the line. Either you give it up or die. He said, even if you take my body and cut it into millions of pieces, each one of these pieces will be chanting Hare Krishna. He said, I will never stop chanting the holy names of the Lord. That's how much faith and attachment he had. And then, of course, they carried out their plan. And then they started to arrange for his torture by finding two very powerful personalities who were known as torturers, punishers, whatever you might call them. They had big whips, and they started to whip Srila Haridas Thakur, at the same time dragging him along the ground. He just kept chanting Hare Krishna. Didn't stop chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw what was happening, and he became really unhappy and really alarmed. And he decided to do something. And he took out his chakra, and he was going to kill them immediately. But Srila Haridas Thakur, now this is the compassion of a great soul, he was praying for the deliverance of these two personalities. Although they were beating him and torturing him, trying to kill him, he was praying for their deliverance. Please, my dear Lord, give them a chance to get your mercy. Give them a chance to chant the holy names also. He was chanting loud enough so they could hear it. They became a little, what we say, affected by his chanting. And this went on for 22 marketplaces. At the end of 22 marketplaces, after dragging him, and people were running from the sides, pleading with these torturers, "We'll give you money, we'll give you goods, we'll do anything. Simply stop beating this saint." They didn't listen. They just continued. Finally, after 22 marketplaces, their arms were so tired they couldn't even lift them anymore. And Haridas was still chanting, and he was just as happy as he was before they started. They couldn't figure it out. What happened? Nobody lasts by behind more than 2 marketplaces. And then they said to him, "Haridas, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to get killed, because the program is, if you don't die, we get killed for not killing you." Haribo, isn't that nice? So, Haridas said, "Oh, if that's a problem, then okay." And then he just went into internal consciousness and lost external consciousness. They took his body down to the river to throw it in the Ganga. But the body was so heavy, they couldn't lift it. His body became like, I don't know how to describe it. It's described that it was like heavy wood that no one could lift. And finally, after Haridas realized they couldn't throw his body in the river, he made it light. And then they threw him, he floated downstream. He got up on another part, and he got up and he started chanting again. Loudly, singing the holy name, not just chanting, he was singing loudly. And then the torturers and, of course, the magistrate, everyone saw them, and they said, "Oh my God, what have we done? We simply offended this great saint. He is actually a great saint." And the Qazi himself, not the Qazi, the ruler, the Muslim ruler, he came, he fell at the feet of Haridas, begged forgiveness. He said, "Now I realize you are such a great saint. Please continue to go on chanting the glories of the Lord according to your understanding. You may go everywhere and anywhere. We will not disturb you anymore. Please forgive me from all my offenses." Haridas Thakur never even considered taking offense. That's the mercy, that's the quality of a great personality. Although someone offends them, it's like a mother, if she's hit by her little child, does she get offended by the child hitting her? No. Her love for her child doesn't really change because the child does something against the mother. In fact, it may even increase. So that was Haridas Thakur's feeling towards them. "They're just like my children. They don't know better. Give them your mercy, my dear Lord." When Srila Haridas Thakur later on was at the Mahaprakash arrangement festival at the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya was giving out benedictions and blessings to everyone. And he offered one to Haridas. Haridas Thakur said, "My dear Lord, if you want to give me any blessings or benedictions, just let me take birth in the family of your devotees, even as a dog, so I can eat the remnants of their food. That's the only benediction. Just let me be connected with your devotees. They're so glorious." That's the only benediction he asked for. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed something to Haridas, which caused Haridas to lose consciousness. He opened his charter, and on his back he had the whip marks that were given to Haridas by these torturers. And Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear Haridas, I could not tolerate these persons torturing you. I wanted to kill him. I tried to, but my chakra could not move from my hand. My chakra could not move from my hand. Your prayers for their deliverance were stronger than my desire to kill them. I could not move." That was Srila Haridas. And then he said, "But I had to do something. So I covered your body with mine." And then when Srila Haridas Thakur saw the whip axe on the whip marks on Lord Chaitanya's body, simply fainted. Thinking, wow, what I put the Lord through. He wasn't thinking anything else. So this kind of illustrates the love for the Lord has for his pure devotee, and the love that the pure devotee has for the Lord. As we were hearing from Giriraj Swami last Sunday, he was talking about Mother Malati. How Mother Malati, when she was serving Srila Prabhupada, at a time when many of his godbrothers came, there was an assembly of many godbrothers, and they were taking prasadam. And Malati didn't want to present herself in front of all these godbrothers, so she took her shawl and covered her head, and at the same time was serving, so no one would see her face. At the same time was serving, the godbrothers made a comment about that, you know, how chaste she was. And Prabhupada said something that really astounded everybody. He said, yes, she would give up her life for me, and I would do the same for her. And he wasn't just saying that. He was saying that her devotion to me is so complete and so perfect that she has captured me by her devotion. So this is how the Lord and the pure devotees respond to those who offer their love and devotion. They're willing to do anything. And this was the quality of Srila Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove to the world what is the glory of this great saint. Today we, of course, every day we hear, when we chant the pranams, the Prema Dwani prayers, we always say, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. It's like every time we say it, we're reminded of Srila Haridas Thakur and his amazing qualities. How he never... I remember one time I wanted to go to the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur, and I was in East Bengal, and I had to travel quite a way to get to where it was, and it was a place called Benapole. Benapole was a place where Srila Haridas Thakur gave his mercy to the prostitute who tried to distract his mind in so many ways. So there's a compound there, and there's inside the compound there's a little, you know, place of worship where a beautiful deity of Srila Haridas Thakur is installed, and next to that deity is a deity of the prostitute. Her name is Haralakshi. So I remember I traveled many hours to get to where I went, but I got there just at the time when they closed the curtains. It was like 1 o'clock, and it was time for the deities to take rest. They had just offered the boga. And I was thinking, oh, Krishna, what luck, right? But somehow when they closed the curtains, they didn't close them completely. They left, and there was some little object inside, and when the curtain closed, it got caught on an object, and there was a space on the bottom. So I thought, Krishna, thank you. So I crawled on the bottom, and I took darshan like that. But I wasn't able to get complete darshan of Haridas, but I did get the darshan of the prostitute. So I thought, Krishna gave me some mercy. Because that prostitute, actually... she, when she was purified, she also began chanting 300,000 names of the Lord. She actually was chanting on the same level as Srila Haridas Thakur. So therefore, she's actually a great saint. How Srila Haridas Thakur transferred an ordinary prostitute who was so reputed in her profession that she was considered the best and the most, effective at distracting anyone from their activities. But Srila Haridas Thakur, after he purified her, I'm not going to tell the whole story because it's really a long story, After he purified her from all her intentions and she started chanting the holy names of the Lord, he said to her, you know, I knew why you came. But still, I stayed here 3 extra days. I was actually as best was going to leave, but I came here simply to give you the mercy of Krishna's name. And so he didn't want, he realized that this person was sent to destroy his bhajan, but at the same time he was thinking, how can I deliver her? How can I deliver her? He's not affected, but at the same time he can affect others. Prabhupada talks about with Typhoid Mary. Okay, you know, anybody know what Typhoid Mary is? Yeah, no, maybe it's mostly in America. Typhoid Mary, it was a person who, as a little girl, contacted typhoid. But she, if she came in contact with anyone else, they would get typhoid. But she was so immune in her body, although her body was so full of typhoid, it didn't cause her to die. Somehow or other, her whole life, she was unaffected by the disease she had, but anybody who would come in contact with her would get it. So then we can use that same analogy, that Srila Haridas Thakur was unaffected by worldly things. But he could give Krishna consciousness to anybody and anybody. I don't know if that's a perfect analogy. But it's Prabhupada uses that in order to describe that, you know, a devotee isn't, although surrounded by material energy, and one who takes full shelter of the holy name of the Lord is immune from that effect. But don't think you're on that platform. One of my godbrothers tells a story. This is kind of a funny story. I don't know how to tell this, but I'll try. Pray for me on this one. There was one young man. He became a disciple of this godbrother. And before he was a disciple, he was a ladies' man. You know what that is? They attract ladies. And he had that quality. He had many girlfriends. And he was very popular. So, and then he joined the Hare Krishna movement. And then you know what happens. You lose all that connection. But still, there was still some communication with some of the girls. And one who was his favorite girlfriend, she calls him up one night and says, can I come and see you in the evening? And he's thinking, well, Srila Haridas Thakur, he, you know, he just chanted the holy names of the Lord and he got through it. So, yeah, you can come. So he said, come, and she came and he was sitting there and he was chanting and she was, whatever she was doing, I don't know. And then she spent the whole night, and then the next morning, you know, nothing happened. So the next morning he comes to his spiritual master and he says, Guru Maharaj, I passed the test. His Guru Maharaj said, what a fool you are, you idiot. What are you doing? You failed. He didn't pass the test. He may not have acted in a gross way, but his mind was affected. Haridas Thakur is not like that. His mind was never even disturbed the slightest bit. So, therefore, if the mind becomes disturbed, that's a disturbance also. So, are we on that platform? Don't try it. Prabhupada said, don't try it. One should always remember that the material energy is very powerful. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say, the problem with Western devotees is that you don't fear Maya enough. You don't fear Maya enough. He told us, he chastised us that way. You don't have a healthy fear of Maya. So one cannot imitate, this is my point, one cannot imitate the activities of the great souls. But one should understand their glories and the glories of the holy name, how he can elevate one to that platform of perfection. And when you're on that stage, you know it. It's not a matter of thinking you're on it. You know it. It's the difference between eating and getting satisfied and reading the menu and thinking you have already eaten. So there's a difference. So this is the glories of Srila Haridas Thakur. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Srila Haridas Thakur during the time of after his departure, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did something. He picked up the body of Srila Haridas Thakur and started to dance with it. And he said, the crest jewel of all great devotees has left the world. He called him the crest jewel, the best of all jewels. So we can't really understand his glories. Therefore, we pray. Devotees sometimes come to me. You know, I'm chanting the holy names of the Lord and I'm having this problem and that. Pray to the great saints for their mercy. This is one of the ways we get the mercy to chant the holy name. In fact, as soon as we sincerely pray for mercy, my dear Lord, I can't chant your name. There's a statement by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur which says that nobody can chant the holy names of the Lord attentively. It's not possible. All you can do is pray and beg for the Lord's mercy. And by that mercy, attentive chanting may come, will come. We can't simply use techniques in our own efforts. It'll always be less than what we say, acceptable. Therefore, one has to beg for the mercy of the holy name, beg for the mercy of the great souls. And then the process of devotional service becomes, what we say, sweet or easy. Because they're so... And Prabhupada will always say, you know, just take my mercy. My mercy is there. I'm giving my mercy to everyone. What is my mercy? Chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Engage in devotional service. If you do that, then my mercy is there as unlimitedly. What is that mercy? Is that we get free from the struggle to live in this material world. This material world, if we actually understand how bad this place is, we'll want to get out of it. It is bad. I mean, for a devotee, Krishna protects and keeps us away from the horrors of the material energy. But simply, at any time, the material energy is what is called, precarious, maybe that's not the word. It's any time it can change. Anything can change drastically. So this material world, Prabhupada said, if you're healthy, that's an abnormal condition. To be unhealthy is normal. So if those of you are unhealthy, you can feel happy with that statement because you're normal. That's the nature of this material world. It's just a place of suffering. Krishna says it twice in the Bhagavad Gita. Dukalayam asasritam anityam ashubham. He says it two times. This place is miserable. It's temporary. You can't stay here. You can't keep what you got. You lose it all. And while you got it, you're not happy with it. It's just the way it is. This is the nature of this world. So therefore, taking shelter of Krishna's name and begging for the mercy of the great souls frees us from this suffering and frees us from this false attempt to try to be happy in this material world. And Prabhupada was talking about happiness in this material world. He kept saying, there's no happiness here. Anybody who says they're happy here, just kick him. It's Prabhupada's way of making the point, you know. He's a fool. That's what Prabhupada was trying to say. And then finally one devotee, you know, said, Srila Prabhupada, what about the mode of goodness? The mode of goodness says that there's happiness. And Prabhupada says the mode of goodness is characterized by knowledge. And that knowledge tells you there's no happiness here. So that's the real understanding of the mode of goodness. So this is the feature that we of success is stop trying to be happy here. As soon as you stop trying to be happy here, you can be happy. Prahlad Maharaj says that. You want to be happy? Stop trying. Very well. Put that on a billboard outside on the highway, you know. Happiness means stop trying for it. Nobody, they'll think, what is this, some kind of joke? No, but everyone's trying for it. But the thing is, material happiness is elusive. It's just an idea. It's somebody's idea. It's the conditioned soul's idea. It's like I'm in a jail, but somehow, even though I'm in the jail, because I want to be happy, there must be some happiness in this jail somewhere. But still, one's in the jail. So this is the conditioned soul's dream, the dream of happiness. It's called phantasmagoria. It's like you see a castle in the sky and you think, oh, isn't that so beautiful? I can have one myself. But it's just a phantasmagoria. It's the material energy comes together in a certain way and presents a figment of our imagination that we see as reality. And as we go for it, as one of my godbrothers said, material happiness is like trying to grab smoke. Have you ever tried to grab smoke? Where'd it go? You can see it, but it doesn't. There's nothing there. So this is the nature of this world. It appears to act in one way, but it's different. And that is what the conditioned souls want. They want to be here. They want to be happy. So therefore, Maya rules this world and gives them the idea that you can be happy. Just keep trying. But a devotee knows where real happiness is. It's in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So we take shelter of the mercy of the great souls, especially Srila Prabhupada and Srila Haridas Thakur, and chant the holy names. And our life is perfect. Any questions? Comments?